actually not necessarily. There's a movement in small farms, and we're pretty small. It's the large farms are growing and the small farms are coming across. It's the medium-sized farms. And actually that, and that's because those are the ones that are really out there trying to play the game and are on the radar, but then have to play some of the regulatory games where some of the small people can also get away with sometimes doing things slightly not on the radar. And there's people out there that are, you know, acknowledging the risks that you take, but also acknowledging those risks with our customers and our investors to realize we're doing this together to exactly try to be some of those examples, like Tikhona was saying. And I think that's something we need to stop looking at ourselves as consumers and producers, but we're all citizens. And a really good book for someone interested in like social organizational theory is Stuart Brown's The Long Now. And he actually looks at how actually ecology adapts and the different lengths of processes you see in nature, but also how do we have that in our society. And right now, we have a tendency to want everything to come from a government level, that they need to change that rule or put in place this rule. But actually, governance tends to be a very conservative force. And when it's healthy in our society, it is. Because it is governing those things that we, as a citizenry, have agreed socially that this is how we want. And so it does change slower when it's healthy. But it is the entrepreneurs, and it is the arts, and it is the marketplace that is creative and that comes up with new ideas and that plays with those new ideas that then eventually can make their way. Now again, healthy governance, healthy social organization. You know, whether we have that currently in Canada and Alberta, could be a question. But I guess I take a lot of inspiration from that to go, that's where being small right now allows us to be, hopefully stay under the radar a little longer. Not that we're doing it. But to play together and to create together and to look at ourselves as entrepreneurs and as communities of citizens that can create examples to show, well, it can be done. And it is being done. And this isn't theory. And the raw milk isn't killing people all over the world. And, you know, I could go into trouble. Some of the specifics, but yeah, you're right. Like that is can be so restrictive, but I guess it's together, and that comes back to that sort of community that we're not isolated in individuals and we acting from fear, but that as we start to talk to each other and find the right words and the safe places to have those conversations, you know, we can come together and create that sense of not just a food security, but actually sovereignty. In where we are together making decisions, and we are together designing, not asking ourselves, how do we want to feed the world? Or how are we going to feed the world? But how do we want? What do we want to be eating? And answering some of those questions for ourselves and not handing those over because I'm just a consumer. No, I'm a citizen, so I have the right and the responsibility to answer that question.
The other thing that all of us need to think about is law, and because, well, being a lawyer, since I'm on board again, I've been had the opportunity to travel all over the place. I've been to the tar sands, I've been to Sarnia, I've seen all of these things, and there's a theme that's coming out that's impacting every one of us, not just Indigenous people. Mind you, historically, when it comes to Indigenous people, here, the weapon of choice has always been law. Now we're seeing it, I'm seeing it, and other people, other lawyers are seeing it, that law is becoming a weapon of choice against even its Canadian citizens. Because when you look at Sarnia and the reserve that's out there, there's 63 factories in and around that reserve. And they're told, do not plant gardens because what comes out of the ground will be contaminated and will kill you. That's basically what they're told. And they're also told, don't open your windows at night. Keep them closed. factories. It's the first time in the world that it's been confirmed through research that their birth rate or their birth has been impacted. There's more girls born than boys. It's the first time in the world that it's linked to those factories and the chemicals that are associated to that. Now, I have some friends that are trying to go towards alternative energy and organic farming. And it's absolutely horrendous to go through the paperwork and then jump through all the hoops. A few of them have given up along the way because it's so hard. A few of them did make it through and do have alternative energy at their homes. But it's such a brutal process that starting the journey is very difficult because of the laws in place. But when you go and take a look at those 63 factories that are functioning in and around Sarnia, there is literally no laws that are in place that are enforced to measure the air quality, the impacts to the land. It's literally non-existent. Here we are, the tightening of the noose around ordinary people, the grassroots people, when it comes to their food sovereignty and using alternative energy. It's so tight, it's literally choking. And yet over here we have these extractive industries that have literally no laws. No laws at all. They answer to no one. I'll leave that with you. It's an observation. Look it up.
Heard from one of our consumers, and I don't know who it's from.
No, she's going.
She said,
"There's one question over there." And then
know your food, and know your farmer, because if you don't, you'll have no food and no farmer. So, I think the end run around this inspection thing, the regulations, is direct by track from the farmer, and they may find a way to stop that, but. I think that as consumers become more enlightened and discerning and become more proactive, and I think that politicians will perhaps listen to, as Dakota said, let's line the streets with people saying, hey, just a minute here, we're being overregulated. So that's one of the things I see and I hear from the people at Visitor Farm is that, are you going to be here? And I said, well, as long as you keep helping us, we will be here.
So do we want, like, their suggestions for
Hello.
Developing?
I'm Andrew Crane from Australia. I'm visiting for a quite serious, I want to pay my respects to the custodians and the land in this magnificent area. And, thank you for the opportunity to come along. And, I'm being quite inspired. And I've brought with me a comment. And the comment isn't mine. It's actually from, I live in an area called Warrnambool, Victoria, in Australia. It's Gunjamara Land. There's a book written about a very famous local man in our area called Banjo Clark. They called him Wisdom Man. And I have had the privilege Andrew Clark is Wisdom Man, as I said, there's a book, you can Google it. But I thought I'd read some of his words, it might take longer. And there might be some validation, just seeing if there's some consistency with what the Wisdom Man from Gunjamara in Australia was saying, which matched some of the sentiments here today. There's two quotes. One of them is, I'll never leave here, my heart and spirit will never leave the bush. I do not understand the notion of title and ownership. Who can own the forest but God? It is a cathedral to me, a special place where I can feel my ancestors' presence. It is my homeland, the spirit of my people, where they roam, sang, and told stories. Whether you are black or white, you need to love, respect, and be kind to this cathedral. never undermine it. You always come back to your homeland. You always come back. Another quote, I'll end with this one. World peace is inevitable. The world has gone from tribes to city-states to nations, and international unity is obviously the next step. But the world can have peace either the easy way or the hard way. Everyone can become more positive now, or allow their greed and corruption to cause a disaster. A disaster so terrible that people will want to turn their backs on their previous negative ways and create a society based on different priorities, something closer to Aboriginal traditions.